Blog Talk Radio.
The Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, CAF Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Good morning. Thank you for waking up with us. The Michael Van Tool Show is broadcast to you in cooperation with Community Highlights and Detroit Spiritual Ambassador, Missionary Hattie Humphrey. Let's go right to our Sunday morning team. The team is here, starting with Henrietta Ivey, our political activist, home care advocate. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Sunday morning team. Good morning to the people of Detroit.
And podcaster and speaker, author Kim B. Davis. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit.
And, of course, you know, Missionary Hattie Humphrey's coming up in about 30 minutes, so Detroit Spiritual Ambassador will be here for Community Highlights in 30 minutes. Our special guest this morning, Attorney Johnny Hawkins. They know him as the Warrior Lawyer. Attorney Johnny Hawkins is on the line. Good morning, Attorney.
Good morning, Michael Van Tool and the amazing Sunday morning team, Miss Henrietta Ivey and Kimberly Batchelor Davis. What's happening?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, yes, the team is here. I got a call from Evangelist Christy Laster Andrews last evening. She's not feeling too well this morning, so let's our prayers go out to her. And you know, she's been working hard with her dad, who just retired after 39 years in the ministry, and then, of course, her brother taking over now at Greater Pentecostal. And I know she's been so busy, and I'm she's really got to slow things down now and get back on track. So she said, give her some time and she'll be back on the show. All right. Look, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Attorney Johnny Hawkins about the gentleman that was knocked out by a Detroit police officer on a downtown Detroit street last week. We're going to be talking to Attorney Johnny Hawkins about that case. He's the lead attorney on that. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service. You've waited long enough. You deserve this chance. Now is the time to get the royal treatment from Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Purchase your new car or truck at her new home, Joe Longhammer Chevrolet in Waterford.
Hi, this is Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Let me worry about your credit and down payment. Together we'll find a way. That's my job. I want you in the driver's seat. So let's look at your trade-in, your monthly payment, and do a credit review. Let's take advantage of Joe Longhammer's wide selection of cars and trucks so I can put you in a car today. It's okay to call me right now. 248-218-9808. Even though I'm the queen, I answer my own phone.
Hurry to the new home of Regina, the Queen of Car Loans, Joe Longhammer Chevrolet in Waterford, or call the Queen's helpline at 248-218-9808. Chevrolet. Find new roads. This segment of programming is brought to you by Sharpen Associates Insurance Agency, specializing in business insurance. As your business evolves, so will your risk. Sharpen Associates will identify potential risk to your business and explore insurance options. a plan will be customized based on the specific needs of your business. In addition, Sharp specializes in auto, home, medical, life, and health insurance. Whatever your needs, we provide a wide range of insurance products to choose from. Protect your company and your livelihood for the long term with Sharp & Associates Insurance Agency. Contact us now at 833-668-0086 or go to our website, sharp-insurance.com. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
All right, we're back. And we have attorney Johnny Hawkins on the line with us this morning. Don't forget, we got news and weather coming up, and we got our election special coming up, so we have an extended program today. We're going to go all the way 90 minutes to 10:30. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, thank you for being on the show with us this morning, and of course, thank you for your support of the program. You are the lead attorney now representing the gentleman that was knocked out by a Detroit police officer on a downtown Detroit street. How is he doing right now, and what's going on with the case?
Mike, thanks for having me once again. Yes, I am the attorney that has been retained by Mr. Marcus Alston. That's Mr. Marcus Alston, a great guy, but I'm also representing the gentleman that he was with on that evening, his two good friends, Antonio Hardy and Antoine Hardy. We call them the Hardy brothers. So three guys were impacted substantially by this. And so what they want to make clear to the community is this is not just about Marcus, who received that punch that was basically, heard around the world, but it was more about all three of them. All three of them were seriously impacted by this. But in answer to your question, Marcus is doing not so good. He really needed that emergent medical care right away. He has post-concussive syndrome now. He cannot even wear glasses. He cannot even be in a room where there's too much light. That's how serious this is. He's having excruciating headaches. And the guy's not making it up. He's a former football player, coach to young men. He's in really bad shape, to be honest with you. And that's just the physical aspect of it. What I now know is that, because we only saw the video, those that were right in the area that heard the punch and then saw his head smack the back of the concrete, it was loud. The thud of his head hitting the ground was loud. I've talked now to the guy that captured the video, and it's very graphic, and I have all the video now from that guy. And you guys ain't seen nothing yet. This is horrible. The beginning is even worse than the end, because it started with Antonio Hardy, and then it went to Antoine Hardy, and then Marcus got, again, the punch heard around the world, or what I like to call now, and I'm not trying to be funny, he got the Debo punch.
Well, it went viral. It went viral. And we could tell there was some sort of conversation going on with the officers, but it looked like it was unprovoked from what we saw.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy too. Here's the deal. Every news media, everybody has a spin. There was a spin put on this that is not correct. It was wrong. The bottom line here is that it, to me now, it's clear, and I'm not blaming the news. I'm just saying, there's an agenda. The agenda was, okay, there's things going on down in Greektown. Violence is heightening or becoming worse. And as a result, the police are just trying to do their job. That is not at all the fact here. The fact here, and the video will show, is that this group of police, 20 to 30, started, provoked, and egged this on from the very beginning. They got on the scene. They followed men. The first three men you see in the video who have the little mask on, who are just bikers now. These are just guys that were bikers who had just got off their bike, who had their mask on, walking down the street. The police came to the scene, got behind them in a group of 20 to 30, and started talking smack to these guys. But this is gang stuff. You understand what I'm saying? This is the police coming on the set, coming on the scene, and then basically provoking and waiting for something to happen. They followed these guys for at least almost three quarters of a block from Bovian to then Fishbone. They're following you. They're talking to you. You're just there trying to enjoy yourself. Police are not. Enough is enough. You keep talking to me, and I'm trying to mind my business. I'm going to turn around and say, what do you want?
Right.
What in the heck do you want? And that's what happened. The guy said, what do you want? And that's all the police needed. And then they pushed the guy into the wall, and they beat those three guys. Not my guys. This is a whole set of different set of they beat those guys.
A whole different group.
Down. Oh, man, yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
And then my guys that jumped in, my guys jumped in like everybody else that was there. I'll show you the video eventually. It's coming out. Everybody else that was there in the general public pulled their phones out because they knew this wasn't right. My guys said, what's going on? And then they got upset with my guys trying to even ask the question. So what it looks like to me is when you're black in America and you want to ask the question, you can't even, you don't even have a right to ask the questions to the police. Like, how dare you? And that's the truth. And that's what you're going to see. So this is once again an example of the biggest gang in America.
Right.
Being the police. Okay. Thugging out. That's what happened.
You know, and Henrietta and Kimberly, if you have a question, just go ahead. I do have an observation, attorney. I was downtown recently for an event with one of my candidates, a fundraiser, and we were at a rooftop restaurant bar, and I can tell you about every hour on the hour for about 3 hours from at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 11 o'clock, a group of seven police officers walked through the club. I guess to make sure that we were eating and drinking well during the evening. It was seven of them at a time, and at 10 o'clock, another seven came through, and at 11 o'clock, another seven, completely different. You know, they came through looking like rock stars. And I was wondering, well, you know, I know those, they're probably on the streets, but I think maybe they just need to take a softer tone. They came up, it was like they were friends with us up on the rooftop while we were having our dinner. But on the ground, on the streets, they come across a little bit more, I don't know, like an army unit on the streets. And I'm wondering if maybe the approach needs to be a bit softer. What do you think, attorney?
Well, that's a good, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, observation, excuse me. That's fair to say. And I would agree with you 1,000%, you know, but it's like it appears in this video that we don't, as Detroiters, on the street, that is, deserve what you were getting on that rooftop, because that's not the way they were. And you're exactly right.
Right.
It was more militant. It was militant in nature. It was gang-related. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm on the set now. I've arrived. We're here. If you're here and it's this late, you shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you doing here? What's going on? Okay? And so now they're following them. Michael, I'm telling you right now, you and I on the street, if we're walking in Greektown at 12:30 at night and our wives or whatever, and we're walking and 20 guys come behind us, police officers are not. We're already scared because we're black and they're police officers. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We're already afraid and on pins and needles. But now you start talking to me and taunting me. Like you want something.
Intimidation.
And I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about for even 20 yards. We're talking about for almost an entire football field. Well, yes, eventually I'm going to turn around and ask you, what the heck do you want? And that's what happened.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Because we're just not enough. Enough is enough. And that's what happened here. That was the beginning. That was the beginning. And the video footage I'm going to get eventually from the green light corridor district, that will say it all. I don't have that yet, but with this video footage that I have from this observer, this really sharp 28-year-old guy that saw it all and captured everything, oh man, it's crazy. But the sadder part is this. I've seen all the video. What you guys have seen
which is what Channel 7 asked for, was only parts of it. And the parts that basically, you know, allowed for them to set the narrative, which was the wrong narrative. It's mm-hmm. a bad look.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very bad look. And that's what that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Go ahead. I did have a question.
Okay. I'm sorry. So, Johnny, good morning. Thank you for being on the show. Quick question.
Good morning.
So
yes.
We saw the video, and it did go viral. What was jarring to me was that I saw a black officer, what looked like a black officer, punch, and he was surrounded by white officers. My question is, what mm-hmm. has the department and the chief said? Because the only thing I've heard is they're investigating, but I wasn't quite sure what their response to this was.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Kim. So basically, that officer they have identified, he is definitely African-American or black. He has been suspended with pay for now, so they got right mm-hmm. on this. Again, I want to commend Interim Chief of Police, Chief White, for doing what he has done, but it's not enough. That officer has a nickname, and we're going to confirm that. Again, we talk about gang-related type stuff, or at least that's mm-hmm. how they handle themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told, and let's get it out there, that my man's name is Fitty. Like Fitty said, 50. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so this guy, this
he got
guy
a street
is
name.
Known. He got a street name.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. This guy is known for knocking you the four-letter word out.
Wow.
He
is known for knocking folks the four-letter word out. You hear me?
Wow.
And so here we go again. We saw this with the officer that abused George Floyd. He had a jacket full of complaints and issues. And there was a case briefly before George Floyd where he almost killed another young man doing the same maneuver. And so this seems to be carbon copy of similar behaviors of that. Not that it's the exact same, but that it goes into a pattern of behavior, which is military in style, which is aggressive in style. And it's the reason why many of us feel like strangers when we go down to downtown Detroit, because we don't feel like we belong unless we are at an exclusive something, which is sad to say, because as citizens, we should be able to go wherever we want to. If we want to go to Fishbones, we should be able to go to Fishbones and not be harassed. Unfortunately, it doesn't feel like that often.
Yes,
exactly.
And Kim, I want to comment on that.
Henrietta,
you know, there's a different environment. And I want to say, first of all, good morning to my lovely friend, Mr. Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. You know, it's always good to have you on the panel. I'd be like, yeah, it was about to be a good show today, although we always do have a good show. But I just want to say good morning
and
to
even
you
better.
And welcome to the panel. Absolutely.
Thank you.
So I looked at the environment now. I remember times where I'm growing up, downtown was the place to go. African Americans could go down there and walk any type of night. I remember many times just being bored, sitting at home, like, you know, I'm gonna go downtown and just walk around. And nobody bothered me. It was never a time I went down there day or night that I felt fearful. But now I try to get the heck up out of there because the environment is different. And like you said, Kim, it is unwelcoming down there now for African-Americans. And for this African-American officer to have a nickname on the street and is known, have a known name for accosting and beating or whatever it is that he do, as they might want to call it, keeping Negroes in place, to have that on his name and the police department knows that he's known for being aggressive and abusive and kept him on, I find that disturbing. And I find that because my daughter is a sergeant. And let me be clear. I love what Detroit police officers do. They do their job correctly. And we have not been in the news up until these moments, a few moments leading up to this moment, of not having all that aggression. So I'm trying to figure out, are we trying to catch up with everybody else? Are we trying to prove we ain't no punk? You know, Detroit police, we get down too. And my thing is, why would you want to have that? Why would you want to be known as something as horrendous as a bullying police department? Yes, we hear about it all over the nation and other cities, but particularly of the South, of all these types of things happening. And now our department is trying to do, or people on our department is like, oh, no, we're going to change that narrative, literally change the narrative of being a police department that worked with the citizens to now becoming a police department with a few on there that's turning it around and giving it a black eye. I'm just like, what is going on with the policing in America? And I was so upset, and I had a conversation with my daughter. I said, look, you're a sergeant. I understand you've been on your job 17 years, and you have been you and your crew, the things that you guys do, have been the very few who have abided by the law as officers. What's going on with your people? And she couldn't even explain it.
Attorney, your client will need medical care now and other counseling. What do you want the Detroit Police Department to do about this as a result of this?
Well, that's a good question. And let me just chime in with what Henrietta said. I agree with you, Henrietta. All together, there are a lot of good police officers in the city of Detroit. I know them personally. But this is not me saying that the Detroit Police Department as a whole is horrific. They are not. They've been in the news before. Now, I disagree with you with regard to that. They've been in the news, and they've been under the enforcement of the federal courts, you know, and the agencies at points in time. But overall, I agree. We have great police officers because they are a part of us. Your daughter, my family, you know, good friends of mine. I want to give a shout-out to Derek Dixon. You know, we call him Rico. He has a nickname, but the guy is amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's a sergeant.
Mm-hmm. I know who you're talking about.
Plus years. That's my man. Yep. That's Rico. What's up, Rico? That's my guy.
So
there are plenty
guy.
Of good. Yes, there are plenty of good Detroit police officers in the city of Detroit. But there are also quite a few, not just a couple bad apples. There are quite a few bad ones too, and that's not in just in Detroit, but around the country. So we gotta stop the narrative of there's a couple. Bad apples. That's not true. There's more than a couple, because if it was just a couple, we wouldn't be having all this conversation around the country.
Yeah,
so let's stop that.
Yeah.
We need to fix that, okay?
But I agree.
Going to your question, Mike, I would want this new interim police officer to come, interim chief of police, Chief White, to come in and kick butt with regard to sort of reforming his own police department. Meaning, let's talk about proper, and this starts with selection. Don't just hire anyone. Do the proper screening, better selection.
Yep.
Then do training. Mm-hmm. Have that training be continual. Help them really understand what de-escalation is. What is it?
Yes.
Help them understand that they're in a position that sometimes they will deal with angry people, people that are upset, but that they have to learn how to manage that. Because this is they have a major responsibility, and then let's discipline them the right way, you know, and then let's not let them be so protected. The union protection they get, oh my goodness, it's it's like the best benefit in the world. Okay,
yeah. They're being
they
coddled.
Can do no wrong.
Yes, they're being coddled by the unions. Yes, and it's really like an armed camp downtown. I know they want to protect. The assets down there, and I know they want to make sure that people can drive in and have a nice meal and have some drinks and go back, but it just seems like it's an armed camp, and don't be young male African-American walking around trying to go out for dinner and have drinks and have fun like everybody else, because it looks like you get followed, you get asked questions more than anybody else. It's like, you know, like I was saying before, attorney, that the approach has to be different, and there's got to be some kind of training, and they have to know how to talk to people and not discriminate or prejudge. It seems like we're dealing with the same stuff over and over again. Isn't there a better way to manage what's going on down in Greektown?
I agree. I agree. And when we all three went to the internal affairs office just this past week to make the complaints for Antonio Hardy and Antoine Hardy, who were just being totally excluded, and met with two internal affairs sergeants, I'll tell you what, those are the kind of officers that we need on the street. These are amazing officers, one male, one female, truly experienced, or seriously experienced. They knew what was going on. One that worked in homicide, the other had done this. I mean, but they knew their stuff. They told my client they knew their stuff. They told my clients the following: Thank you for coming in. Thank you for having the courage to come in. Thank you for making this report, because this is the only way we'll get change. We need guys like you to do this. We don't do this. We don't report officers. We don't report officers because we're afraid of it. Okay.
Wow.
But they were excited to get the information so that they could do the proper investigation. And then look what happened. Now the guy has already been suspended with pay.
Yes.
It's with
that
pay.
Was quick, wasn't it,
but
attorney?
They acted quickly
on that.
So give me those officers. Give me those two officers all day on the street, and officers like Derek Dixon. Give me those kind of men in the neighborhood, and watch the level of trust and the relationship between citizens. Exactly.
Right.
That's what we need.
Great. Well, attorney, thank you for you know, updating us on what's going on with this gentleman who was knocked out on a downtown Detroit street. Before you leave, I just want you to say hello to Detroit Spiritual Ambassador Missionary Hattie Humphrey. Good morning, Missionary. Attorney Johnny Hawkins is joining us this morning.
Good morning. God bless you today. And Johnny Hawkins, that's my man, God.
Oh, my goodness.
But Johnny Hawkins, he don't know. I'm his spiritual mother. I keep him in my prayers all the
time. Amen.
Wait a minute now. She said she didn't, excuse me, I know that that's exactly what you do, because I'm still living, praise God, and I'm safe. And all this chaos, it has to be in large part based on you, because you are one powerful woman that is connected with the Lord God Most High. I thank you, and I love you, and I appreciate you. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Great, great. One more thing. I just want to have Bishop Kathy is a chaplain with the Detroit Police Fire and Police. Bishop Kathy, say something to Attorney Johnny Hawkins, who's our guest this morning.
Oh, bless your heart, Johnny. Attorney Hawkins, let me correct that. You are one of the greatest. And I tell you, we appreciate what you're doing, and we appreciate everything that you're going to get done, especially in that particular situation with the young brother. But I can't go beyond without saying bless you to the missionary. Hey, Humphrey, bless you, bless you, bless you.
Bless you.
And bless you, too, Michael Bantua. But
great.
Attorney Hawkins, keep doing what you're doing, man. The city loves you, man. There's many people that you don't even know about that loves you, man. So on behalf of the International Police and Fire Chaplains Association, we do respect you, man, and we love you dearly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bishop. I really appreciate that. A man of God of your caliber saying that, that really helps me. It helps me continue to do what I do. Thank you so very much. Have a blessed day.
You're welcome.
Great. Attorney Hawkins, thank you for getting up with us Sunday morning. We know you're busy, and you know we know that you've got a lot of work to do with this newest case with these three gentlemen that you're representing. Thank you for joining us on the Michael Vantool Show, and thank you for your support with here with me and Missionary Hattie Humphrey.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Sunday morning team. Keep being amazing. I love you. We love you. Keep giving us the good news and the good word every Sunday. God bless you guys.
Great. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. We love you, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you, John.
Thank you. Bless you, sir.
Missionary Hattie Humphrey, good morning. We're just going to blend the programs and move right into community highlights. How are you this morning? It's good to hear you, and God bless you.
God bless you, Malcolm, to the radio audience. But, Michael, before we go further, that's my favorite scripture I like to read to the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth fruit in season. His leaves also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chariot which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sit in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's dedicated to all of the listeners that's there, Michael.
Great. Thank you. The Sunday morning team is here. Henrietta Ivey, our political analyst, home care advocate. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the amazing, beautiful missionary Hattie Humphrey. It is always a pleasure to sit in and with you on Sunday. Good morning to the Sunday morning team, and good morning to the citizens of Detroit.
And Kimberly Batchelor Davis, author, speaker, writer. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, missionary. It is always a pleasure to hear your voice and to sit with you in the morning. Good morning, Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit.
And missionary, we are, even after community highlights at 10 o'clock, we added another half hour because we are going to be talking about some of the political races. Henrietta and I are going to be talking about some of the political races that happened. Of course, the primary was just this past Tuesday. I had my candidate in the race, and however, she did not fare as well as we wanted to. But it was, you know, one thing I let my candidates know, just even when you lose, you can win. I know candidates that lost, and you know, me, missionary, you got me into the candidate advising managing role from years ago when I used to go out with you with the candidates. And we know of candidates, they lost the election, but then a couple of days later or a month later, they got a phone call from the governor or Wayne County where they were selected.
Right.
To sit on a panel or become a judge. They, you know, they lost the race to be a judge, but then they got appointed. Now, if that ain't God, I don't know what is. You know,
amen.
They'll lose the race, and then the governor will call them a month later and say, hey, I'm appointing you to this position. I think Sheriff Napoleon lost a race and and got placed as an interim sheriff. Yeah,
right.
So...
Because his name had already been thrown out there. If he hadn't never went out there, they wouldn't have never known him. So that was amazing. And if she just trusts God, I think she still have a chance.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yes, it's so you never can really say, and like you said, missionary, it raises your profile after that because more people know you. And that's why it's so important. I was talking about it earlier on the program this morning. That's why you gotta, prepare early to run. Don't decide to run a couple weeks before, and then go down to the Elections Commission and pay your fee to get in the race. No, you have to be ready. And then, missionary, how many times have we seen candidates that have no history? They have not done anything, not participated, they haven't helped anybody, they haven't been involved in any community organization, and then they want to run.
And then another thing, Michael, the one that ran with us, judges and things, down through the year, that's why they supported me, they didn't just stop there. They kept on going around with us to different churches and trusting, getting yourself known. You don't just stop because you didn't win. You got to, that's what really she's already been put out there. Her name is already out there. You can work on it for the year, keep on working. You got to keep working on your job
That's
for your
right.
name.
That's right. Let's hear from the Sunday morning team. We've had a busy morning this morning, but I want to, Henrietta, what would you like to share with us this morning? Because we haven't had a chance to really talk yet.
Thank you, Michael. And, you know, I just wanted to piggyback off of the election. First of all, let me congratulate all the candidates that ran the race. Win or lose, you're winners because you got up off your butt and decided to do something to make change in the great city of Detroit. And so I just wanted to, you know, congratulate everyone, the Duerhals, Nicole Smalls, Anthony Adams, Erica Maria, Joanne Underwood, Maya Johnson, Bennett, all these people who ran in these races to try to make change. Congratulations to you. But I also want to highlight the actions of candidates who are, when you're out here and you're trying to make change, you have to be very mindful of how you are producing yourself in this field of work. We had one candidate, Joanne Underwood, whose people were at the polling site accosting people, and it was just not a very good look moving forward in a political future.
Wait, what was
so
she
what
doing?
I want to say to that is she had her people out at the polls. They were screaming and shouting at people, at other supporters of other candidates, making accusations that other folks were not the good choice. They haven't done anything. They were knocking literature out of people's hands. Understandably, the police officers were called in at one polling site because of some of the actions that were going on by her canvasser. So I put that out there to say, and not to badmouth her or put her on, to make it seem like she's not a good person, because I know Joanne, and Joanne has a lot of fire in her. But you have got to be careful how you produce yourself out here, because people don't look at what you're trying to do. They look at what you did and what you're doing. And that right there could be a bad spot for her, because now, you know, not only am I talking about it, but the conversation is moving around about her people, her camp, that acted
well,
in such
Henrietta,
an,
disorderly way. You're just telling the truth, because my next door neighbor told me the same thing. She said she did not like the conversation she had with Underwood. She said it was brash, it was angry, and it's like she had a chip on her shoulder. So people have to, they have to get control of themselves during the campaign and their campaign people. So you're only telling that you're only saying what actually happened. My next door neighbor told me the same thing.
Gotta be careful.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for sharing that. And we have more to talk about because I have all the information on all the races here in Detroit, and I can't wait till 10 o'clock so we can cover it. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, I know you always come prepared, but we still have news and weather coming up, too. So we're going all the way to 10:30. So go ahead, Kimberly.
Okay. Well, I will save my news story for our news segment. But I wanted to piggyback on what Henrietta said, because one of the things that I have been telling people, if we don't vote, then you don't have a choice in what leaders are chosen. And then we continue to have incidents like what we saw that went viral, where Johnny Hawkins has to come in, the warrior lawyer, and step in and try and resolve. I was at my precinct. I voted probably around 5:36. I was number 78. My husband went a little bit before the polls closed, and he was only number 92. I don't know if we even got 100 people that came to our precinct. And I live in a heavily populated district in an area that votes like it's supposed to, but people just did not turn out. And I know that we get concerned and we go through this every election cycle when it's not a national election, when it's just local races. But the local races are what really impact you more so than national. Not that national doesn't, but local people you can touch and see. You can go and you can see the mayor. You can go and you can see your city council people. You can go and see your state reps, your state legislators, your board of canvassers, all these different people. These are the people that you need to be voting for, and we need to get out and be active. Or we will continue to have stories where we say, I don't feel welcome in certain parts of my city. And, Michael, we talked about it a week ago where we were saying it's easy to get a police officer downtown than it is to get a police officer in the neighborhood. And I live in a historic district within the city of Detroit. And it is hard, if something happens, to call and get a police officer. And that is shameful. But we have to make sure that we get up and vote and are active and engaged, because if we don't, people are just going to continue to make decisions that are not for us. And so that's my note for today. We got to get engaged. And I was just really disappointed by what I thought the last election.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. And I, 40 people voted in my precinct on Tuesday.
Wow.
40 people. So I hope that there was a lot of absentee ballots. I hope so, because 40 people, that's not a good look at all. Missionary, I do want to tell you something. I do want to thank you for I was taking notes. I was listening all the times that you and I went out to different churches with candidates and to different events. I learned the politics from two people, missionary Hattie Humphrey and Commissioner Monique Baker McCormick. You two are who I learned the politics from. So, missionary, thank you for allowing me to go out with you all those days with those different candidates. I remembered everything from those days.
And too, Michael, in those days that we started, I think it was all of the judges, the governor, the Grime home, they all seemed to follow me because I really was the only one could get them into the church.
Right.
I never will forget, even back there, Reverend Franklin, a long time ago, I sat on the front seat, and some kind of way I had a way. They would, in those days, they wouldn't let them. You couldn't do nothing unless you were a missionary. You had to come through somebody. And I think that's why God gave me that job. And I lived right. So I had a good reputation. And then if you want to know the God truth, I didn't know what I was doing, Mac, until you and the Lord blessed you into my life and to all of these that are there. I was just, I'm just proud of you.
Well, you knew what you were doing, and Kimberly, look, and Henrietta, we would go. Me and missionary would go into churches. We knew where to go. First of all, we knew where to sit. We knew where to sit. We had some sort of communication with the pastor somehow.
Yeah.
Even just by looking and him looking at us, it could be that simple. And we always had help from maybe a usher or one of the other ministers. So you've got to get the attention of the pastor. And I don't want to give out our secrets, but the other candidates would come in and sit in the back, and he would mention their name, and they would get a little wave. But if missionary brought a candidate in, they were right up front with us, and the pastor would ask them to stand and speak or even come up and say something. That's why those candidates went with missionary, because missionary would get them some face time in front of the congregation. That's why you're there. I wouldn't accept sitting in the back and getting that wave.
And then another thing, Michael, another thing with Grime Home and the rest of the people that followed me, I taught them how to dress. I like such a Grime Home, I would tell her, always put me in the front. I said, "Now you can't wear those pants, and you can't have your dress up." And if most of them know the bathroom with those big handkerchiefs to cover your legs up. That's what Grime
missionary,
Home
why you have
loved.
To go there? Now you opened up a whole new
truth.
Thing.
Nah, they
that
went
is
everywhere.
True. That is true.
I remember when Granholm came down to the radio show. This was before she was governor. And I remember she came down there with, I think, jeans and a sweatshirt on. And I tell you, missionary pulled her to the side and had a little conversation. And that never happened again. But I've seen missionary call out people in church for what they're wearing. And unfortunately, yes, I know COVID had something to do with it, but people started dressing down before COVID. Now we have to tell our candidates to dress properly. You cannot be out on the campaign trail. Missionary, I had a candidate come up to my office. He was running in some River Rouge or something like that. And he came up there because somebody referred him to me. I never called him back because when he came up to my office, he had on some old jeans and a dirty T-shirt. And I just thought, well, that you're not impressing me at all coming here looking like you just got off the back of a junk truck. You know, those trucks that you pick up junk around the street. He looked like he was dressed for. I didn't even want to shake his hand. I think I used the sanitizer or something after he left. But how are you going to come? That's what. And then don't talk about the women candidates. You gotta dress properly, because when you're running for office, you're always on stage. There's no time.
Always.
You cannot relax. You cannot.
Right. Nope. And people need to realize it is a job you are auditioning for. And so you need
Absolutely.
To look the part. You cannot come in here in stretch pants, jogging pants, you know, inappropriate cut-off shorts or dirty clothes.
Yeah.
You need to look like you are going to an office. Because you're going to be working with other legislators that deal in millions and millions of dollars. You need to look the part. If I'm a fellow legislator, 24/7. Why do you get to wear why do you get to wear dirty jeans and show up at the state capitol?
Meeting, Because their mentality sticks. Because if they're showing up like that, they're going to think it's okay to show up just sloppy. And let me say this off the record, well, on the record, because we're public radio. You know what? Cynthia A. Johnson did that. She would come to work. I would look at her like, "Oh my God, is she serious?" That look, like you're up in the, you're in the House of Representatives, and people would, when I would come to work, I would change with my dress and in Lansing, and I would come very professionally dressed, and people would always refer to me as state rep, and I'm like, "No, she's the state rep," and they would be looking like, "Really?" Because she would come to work with jeans on, her shirt with tattoos showing, her boobs kind of hanging out. It was like, So I say that not to bring up anything and not trying to start trouble, but it's that image. And so when you when you're running and you have that mentality of that comfortability to think that you can just come any kind of way you want because I'm relaxed, this is politics and being a leader. This is not a job you can relax in. You got to always be on your toes because
and
the
you
world
know,
is watching.
And you know what?
And guys,
you know what? Like we on the radio now, you that's in charge of whoever you carrying out, you know what's going on. It's up to us, you, if you're taking somebody out. It's up to them because this is their new job. They don't know. It's up to the leaders to tell them. Well, some of them dumb enough to know, and some of them don't know. It's up to us. That's what I like about Maca down through the years with people on our broadcast all 15, almost 20 years. You know what I mean? So all of the staff that with us that's taking out candidates, we got a great group. We got a religious, beautiful staff with us. And
let me tell you,
Missionary,
we got some callers on the line that want to chime in. Let me go to Bishop Kathy. You wanted to make a comment because I know you keep track of this political game too.
And Greg Burkhardt is on somewhere.
Yes.
I had my hand up the moment a missionary said something, but I realized couldn't nobody see my hand but me. Have I got a witness?
Amen.
Saw it. No, I saw it. I saw it.
I had the text alert. But here, when you go to college, in some instances you could pass with a D. In some instances, a C, you get your C, but you look for that B or that A. But I guess in that sense, we don't settle for a C. But you can pass with a D. Now, greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. You better look the part. I wouldn't care if you're going to work in a gas station. You better always look upon.
That's right.
You better look upon according to those individuals that you're going to be around. Because there's nothing wrong with dressing down. But you're not going to walk in Leon Coker's office dressed down and expecting to get a big check. Have I got a witness? So
that's right. Amen.
This
poor performance, man. I'm so Jesus stage job. Have I got a witness?
Amen. You got it, Bishop.
Amen.
Anybody around in the job too. So yes, we should always don't run in a race looking like you're tired. You didn't defeat yourself. Period.
Yep.
Yes.
Period.
Bishop, thanks for chiming in. Thanks for adding in that. I just knew I was going to go to you anyway. I just knew I had unmuted your line. I was like, I know you want to say something, but that's so important.
I did. I had my hand. I'm like, teacher, I know you see me over here. You hear me?
Yes. Well, thank you.
And then it was a simple, you're black. You see, he know I'm one of the preachers. He keeps saying thank you. That's what it means. That's it, man.
All right. We're going to go to another call. Another one of our regular callers, Greg Burkhardt. Mr. Burkhardt, thank you so much for calling in this morning. We're having a great time here this morning.
Oh, it has been a great time. I've been sort of sitting in the back of church, just admiring
just
all the work that's being done and all the information and really understanding how important churches play in our community of providing trusted information, caring for our poor, and caring for our health. And it's beautiful to hear all the work and learn what everybody's doing. And so while I'm sitting towards the back, I'm listening to everybody.
Well, we really appreciate that. And I know you keep track of politics, too. We had a very low turnout in Detroit last week. But this is the primary, and a missionary and I know, and all of you know how important the primary is. It's actually like more important because the people that are going to be on the ballot in November were chosen at the primary last week. It's that simple.
Right. Yep.
And that's how the crazy slip in. That's how people get in that you don't want in. Because it doesn't take – because since it's – look, I looked at some of the races, and we're going to cover it at 10 o'clock. I looked at some of the races. We're separated by a few hundred. And in one case, about 2,500 people voted for the top person. 2,400 people voted for the second person. That's nothing. That's about – that 5,000 people made that decision. 5,000.
Yep.
How many people go to some of these churches? 5,000. You know, that's like one church deciding who's going to be our state rep or the governor
or
in your district or mayor. One church deciding for your whole district. That's how bad this is. Yeah. And so there's a lot of
importance of everybody voting.
For sure. But missionary, one of your biggest things over the years is, and I agree with you. Some people talk about don't mix politics in the church, but that's where black people go in groups.
Right.
They go to church more than anywhere else. And then we want to be able to pick those candidates that have our values. So why wouldn't we be concerned? I tell you.
And there's a historical context for that. That's where politics in the black community started. You could only meet in the church. So it only makes sense that that is something that we have continued on today. It is our town square.
Yes, it's our town square.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where the connection comes in. So to say that we can't mix them is really, to me, saying – you know, we don't want you to connect. So we find it offensive to commit to connect church and politics. When you think back in the day, back in biblical times, it was always church and politics in the mix.
Always.
It has always been there. It's, you know, when it came to us, because we are a powerful voting race of people, now it becomes that, okay, well, now we can't mix the two.
Right,
that's
right.
The subliminal message of
it
saying,
always happens.
We don't want you, because your power is going to change things. So we don't want to mix that with church. So don't do it. That's how I see it. You know, I could be wrong, but that's how I view it.
Yep. Let me just say this before, I'm sorry, Kimberly, I want to say something about Christy Laster. I spoke with her last night. You know, she's been missionary. She's been working hard with her dad's retirement, and then her brother's installation. And and she called me last night, and she's not feeling well. And she said she's going to need a few weeks before she gets back on track. And I just told her that we understand. I told her you don't have to call me to apologize about not being on the program. I said, you and your health and your family is important. We've got, the team is here. We'll back you up. We're here for you. So, you know, she may be even listening this morning. You know, we do care about her. And,
it takes some self-care.
Yep.
Take some time in. Take care of yourself. We love you. We know that you need that rest. Get some rest.
Yep.
What about breakout?
Yes. Any parting remarks, Greg?
No, I just think, and it's interesting because I was thinking about the same thing of the role that church has played over the years, all the way back to biblical times, in not only information but health. I mean, there was reasons they said mm-hmm. we washed our hands, how we cared for food, mm-hmm. how we cared for the poor. And the church yeah. is our community, or should be our community.
Amen.
So amen to everybody and all the work that you do together.
Great.
That's
thank
right.
you, Greg.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop Kathy. We really appreciate your input. And stick around, Bishop, because we're at 10 o'clock we're going to go talk in depth about the races, too. Missionary, you have some parting words of encouragement for us this morning?
I just want to tell the world, you can make it if you take God with you everywhere you go and learn how to love yourself. Take care of yourself and be good. And may the Lord God bless each and every one of you until I meet with you again. God bless you.
God bless you, and thank you, missionary.
Thank you,
I hope
God
you enjoy
you,
your day. We're going to...
I'm tomorrow, and I'm on my way to church right now. I was dressing in between. I'm
and
on
I
my
finally,
way. Thank God that I'm able to go. I got two churches to go to.
I
bless you, missionary.
I finally went last Sunday to church, and it felt good to be back. And
yeah.
and I'm going to start getting back on a regular schedule now. It's something about that... you know, meeting. Yes, it's meeting with
mm-hmm.
other Christians, and that's what church is all about. It's you have to meet because you're
together.
All on the same. Yes, and
mm-hmm.
not and
mm-hmm.
to separate yourself from the world,
the body of Christ.
So
mm-hmm.
yes.
Amen.
All
now,
right.
And I love all of you. God bless you. And my driver of the year.
Your driver's
ready
there.
To get out.
All right. God bless you. Have
love
a great day
you.
Today.
All right.
Missionary.
God bless you. Love you, missionary.
Thank
All right.
you so much. I love you.
Thank
too.
You. We are going to be right back with our election special. We'll be right back after these messages with our extended edition of our election special. We'll be right back.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
Attention all seniors. Sharp and Associates Insurance Agency has an important announcement for you. If you're approaching Medicare eligibility and have questions like, how do I choose the right Medicare supplement plan? How do I avoid higher premiums? How do I reduce out-of-pocket expenses? What is the difference between Original Medicare versus Medicare Advantage? How do I choose the most cost-effective prescription drug plan? For answers to these questions and more, Sharp and Associates are awaiting your call. Phone them today at 833-668-0086 or try them on the web at sharp-insurance.com. That's sharp-insurance.com. Call today.
You've waited long enough. You deserve this chance. Now is the time to get the royal treatment from Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Purchase your new car or truck at her new home, Joe Longhammer Chevrolet in Waterford.
Hi, this is Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Let me worry about your credit and down payment. Together we'll find a way. That's my job. I want you in the driver's seat. So let's look at your trade-in, your monthly payment, and do a credit review. Let's take advantage of Joe Longhammer's wide selection of cars and trucks so I can put you in a car today. It's okay to call me right now. 248-218-9808. Even though I'm the queen, I answer my own phone.
Hurry to the new home of Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Joe Lunghammer Chevrolet in Waterford, or call the Queen's Helpline at 248-218-9808. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about those things tonight.
Good morning.
Promise you that everything is gonna be
welcome
all right.
To an extended edition of the Michael Van Tool Show. It's been a great morning. We had attorney Johnny Hawkins on with us this morning talking about the gentleman who was knocked out on the Detroit street, and he is representing the gentleman and his friends. We also had missionary Hattie Humphrey, Detroit spiritual ambassador, and a nice conversation with her. And so now we're going to have news, weather, and then we're going to talk about Tuesday's primary too. And we're here with the Sunday morning team, Henrietta Ivy and Kim B. Davis. And now, and I got to make this official, Chaplain. We're going to make you just like Greg Burkhart. We're going to add you guys. We're going to put some men on the Sunday morning team too. So we're going to add you guys. You know,
yes.
Like members at large. Yes. We got to add you guys to it too. So thanks for sticking with us.
Yes, appreciate you.
All right. In the news this morning, Spirit Airlines canceled more than 22% of its flights yesterday after a week of delays and cancellations. Some people are being given $20 food vouchers but have no place to wait or go once their flight is canceled. A family from Detroit has been stranded in Puerto Rico, and those are some of the things that are happening as a result of the Spirit Airlines. We'll probably have more information on that on the next program. A black realtor was showing a home to a black father and son in a Michigan suburb last week when they looked outside and saw police officers surrounding the property with their guns drawn. Mr. Thorne told Don Lemon from CNN that it looked like the police were preparing for a standoff. He added, "My instincts told me to get out of there. We need to get to where they can see that we're not a threat." Of course, a neighbor called police saying a suspect that was arrested at the property last week had returned to the scene, but the caller was mistaken. Realtor Eric Brown was showing the house to potential buyer Roy Thorne and his 15-year-old son Samuel. The mistaken identity incident occurred in Wyoming, Michigan, a suburb of Grand Rapids. This is the second week in a row that I have read a story where somebody called the police on something that was legitimate. You know what? I know I'm drifting on the commentary already, but this is news/commentary. But I wish, don't let somebody do that to me, because you know who I'm calling? Warrior
Johnny
Hawkins.
Johnny Hawkins.
248-567-9990.
Okay.
I'm calling attorney Johnny Hawkins, and we are going to own the store, the building, the hotel, whatever it was.
Come on now.
Whoever it was that did that to me, because they know what they're doing. Just like all these Karens out here, they know what they're doing. I can't wait till another
now
Karen
thing. Now
we got
some Kens out here too.
Right. Yeah.
You know what, Mike? I just want to say something briefly on that, and I'm not going to hold it, but it just bothers me to the core that, excuse my French, white America has the police in their pocket. How is it that you're going to call and make an assumption that somebody has returned? They would have known by the approach of this realtor. They would have known by how they approach the residents. Like, are they staking it out? Are they looking suspicious? Are they pulling up at jumping out of the car, looking around to make sure nobody's not watching? This was a clear case of privilege. They just felt like this was some black men. We want them out this neighborhood. So how can I get the police here quick? And the fact that the police actually took the call with no description, no conversation with, ma'am, how do you know it's the same people? What's the description? What is the atmosphere like? What are they doing to make you believe they're doing something to this property they shouldn't be? But all these questions should have been asked in that 911 call. They immediately dispatched through, hey, it's some Negroes that's in our neighborhood, and they look scary. And so when you hear them calling and talking about how black Americans look
like
scary, you come out with your gun drawn for what? You didn't. No one. Okay. It was in the car. Let me say this. And I want to get off of, because you know I could take it. I could take it there. But I'll say this: it was unfortunate that this family, that this young black man had to be faced with that. That is the image in this young black man's head that's gonna be plastered. That the police is not his friend, and we're trying to get rid of that image because we don't want police officers in our black community feeling a threat with each other, because that's where the danger comes
right.
in. Because they're going to always come with guns drawn, and we're going to always be
right.
on the stand. So I would say to that lady or man, whoever made that call, and to the police department in Wyoming, shame on you. You
yep.
came with guns drawn. For what? To do what? To
yeah,
kill
they could have come up
have a
there.
Justification based on a scary call?
Right,
I would
right.
actually call in Detroit and say, hey, it's a scary white man walking down my block, and they pop up with guns drawn. It ain't going to happen for us. But it
no,
will happen
not.
For them. All they got to say is the word scary, or I'm afraid, or the word black man. And that's it. And we got to change that narrative.
That's right. That's right. I read it last week. I read a story of a black woman flying on Frontier Airlines, and she had an adopted white kid with her. And somebody, one of the passengers, called the airline and told them, hey, there's a black woman and a little white girl with her. It doesn't look good. I think it's trafficking, human trafficking.
Wow.
That was her adopted
yeah.
sister, okay? The older sister was black, and the younger sister was white. It was her adoptive. And, of course, you know, the pilot called the police, and as
right.
they
See?
Exited the plane, they were pulled over to the side and questioned.
Wow.
And then they separated the two and asked the little girl, who is this that you're with? That
See?
Must have been so
See?
Degrading. And we've
right.
got to stop. Like you said, Henrietta, there's the Karens out here, but there are the Kens out here, too. That's a good name to call it, the Karens and the Kens. But, yeah,
the
don't let them do that to me. I wish they would. Let me.
Well, Michael,
let
you
me.
Know what? That
Daddy will be the first one on our phone.
Let me tell you, that incident sounds very familiar because my sister and I worked at Henry Ford Hospital and years ago. So my niece is biracial. And when she was little, she looked every bit of her father's side of the family. What I mean by that, she looked very Caucasian, very Caucasian. And we were coming from work. We were sitting in the lobby. I'm going to make it short so we can move on. And my sister came in. She said, hey, I just had to bring you to her appointment. Can I ride home with you? I said, yeah, I'll get off in 15 minutes. Long story short, we were on the shuttle bus. We were actually walking down the hallways of the hospital, and these white nurses kept looking, and all these white people kept staring at us like, you know, what are these black women doing to this little white girl? Because if you could see in their face, they thought she was white. We get on the shuttle bus. And so some of the same nurses was looking. They kept turning back, looking at me and my sister. And they wanted the nurse to ask, who is this little girl to y'all? Do y'all know her? And my sister and me, we looked at each other like, wow. I said, yeah, we know her. This is my niece. This is her daughter. And one of the nurses said, little girl, are you okay? Do you know them? I'm like, wow. So me and my sister, of course, we composed ourselves. Now, only because, again, we didn't want confrontation, and that's another narrative that has to change. Why do we have to dummy down when someone is approaching us in a negative way? That's another story. However, that story sounds very familiar to the young lady who was on the plane. How is it that would it have been the same energy if it was a white family with a little black girl?
Right.
It would be accepted.
Yeah, why is it like, why
would
we approach in a negative way?
True.
Would somebody would have been concerned if a white woman was walking around with a little black girl? Would their eyes would have raised then? Would they have been concerned? Would they have called the pilot? Or they would have been like, oh my God, she's doing a great thing. Or they would have had a conversation, oh my God, is this, you know.
That's true.
It would have been friendly.
Yep.
So that again is another narrative that has to change. We are being approached in such negative ways in every aspect, and all we're trying to do is good. And let me be clear. Never mind. Go ahead.
And we do have to highlight it each time. I got one more news story before we go to Kimberly, and then some notes on, because I locked it in until 10:30. A Texas Republican who mocked masks and made fun of Dr. Anthony Fauci died this week of COVID-19. Texas Republican H. Scott Apley, a raging critic of mask wearing and vaccines, died in the hospital from coronavirus. Apley attended mask burnings and called the his opposition enemies. Aptly entered a hospital this past week with complications and days later was pronounced dead. He is one of an increasing number of anti-mask and anti-vaccine opponents who are quite vocal who have died from the disease. Be careful what you say.
Be careful.
And what you do.
Amen.
All right. Let's get the weather in here, Kimberly.
Okay. So good morning, everyone. So scatter showers cruise over the region this morning. By afternoon, by lunchtime, they will be leaving. Sunday afternoon gets brighter and hotter. Highs will be in the upper 80s. So today, our high is expected to be 89 degrees with a low of 72. Yes, it is hot. Tomorrow, Monday, it will be a high of 88, a low of 72. Scattered thunderstorms late are predicted. Tuesday, a high of 86, low of 73. Showers and more storms are likely. On Wednesday, it will be a high of 89, a low of 73. Another opportunity, a chance for showers and storms. On Thursday, it will be continue to be hot and humid. We'll have a high of 90 and a low of 73. On Friday, we'll have a high of 85 and a low of 62 with scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout. Saturday, it will be mostly sunny with a high of 81 and a low of 60.
All right. The heat wave is here.
Nice.
I am looking forward to getting outside this afternoon. Good weather report. All right. You have a news story, too?
I do. And so this is a funny one. I know there's a lot of stressful situations going on in the news. But three women found out the same guy was cheating on them. They dumped him and took an epic road trip together. So I said, this is going to be funny. Three unsuspecting women, one cheating boyfriend, and the epic road trip of a lifetime. Can this plucky trio of former flames bond over the man who done them wrong to find love, laughter, adventure, and friendships that will last a lifetime? Cue the uplifting soundtrack because this sounds like a Hollywood movie, right? But this tale of three women who went from hoodwinked girlfriends to unlikely BFFs is true. Abby Roberts, Becca King, and Morgan Tabor were all dating someone they thought was a great guy. Only it turned out their Prince Charming happened to be dating all three of them at the same time.
Wow.
Around last Christmas, some too friendly texts and flirtatious photos led Tabor to believe something strange might be going on. As it turned out, her less than stalwart lover's social media accounts confirmed her worst suspicions. The 21-year-old in Boise, Idaho, reached out to one of the girls via Instagram to share the bad news that their exclusive boyfriend was less than exclusive. They began to bond as they shared their mutual feelings of shock and dismay. But that relationship was just the tip of the proverbial iceberg. Tabor's further sleuthing revealed that in addition to the other Idaho woman she'd already contacted, the boyfriend who shall remain nameless had also been simultaneously dating an art student from Salt Lake City. He was around the nation, y'all.
Wow.
We were having a great time.
Okay.
And then around December, I got a text from two girls, Roberts told the Salt Lake City Tribune. One of them basically said, hey, are you dating this person? And she said, yes. And they're like, well, we're both dating him too. So that was a huge shocker. In a moment straight out of the movies, the guy was busted when he showed him on Tabor's doorstep a courtly bouquet of flowers in hand during a revelatory FaceTime chat between Tabor and Roberts. While he tried to talk his way around his dodgy dating agenda, the girls weren't buying the sorry line of defense he was trying to sell. Following a hunch there might be more members in their strange and growing sisterhood, Tabor and Roberts followed the evidence, eventually tracking down and telling the truth to another half dozen women.
What?
He was also seen.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, you know, he's got a problem. He needs counseling.
Yeah, something is going on. Something is going on.
But after a brief confab, the three women summarily dumped him. But rather than become bitter over the experience, they eventually decided to meet up. They did a lot of trauma processing and memory sharing and talked about what they had in common. And right away, they became good friends.
During their initial get-together, the three compared relationship stories about their departed beau. They also learned they had a lot in common as he was attracted to women with similar interests, and he told all of them about his romantic dream of traveling the country in old VW bus.
He's a scammer.
With the help of friends, he was.
Yeah.
But with the help of friends and family, they obtained an old school bus, parked it in Boise, where they fitted it up into a modern-day tiny house on wheels straight out of the pages of a glossy magazine. And this summer, they hit the road. They are traveling to Washington State, Yellowstone Glacier, and Grand Teton National Parks, and a drive south along the West Coast. The women all take turns at the wheel, and to finance the journey, they've worked remotely several hours per week. To say the trip has been transformational is an understatement.
Good, good, good. That's mm-hmm. how they deal with it. But they got to turn this guy in, get him counseling, and he's a scammer.
Yeah.
Oh, Kimberly,
yeah.
Remember we talked when right before we went on the air. We knew this was going to be a crazy morning. It's so entertaining.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go back and listen to this again sometime this week to this show. All right, let me just say this. Okay, let's go into some politics real quick. It looks like James Tate is not going to have any problem in District 1. Won over lady LaRosa, 72% to 12%.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the Mike Duggan race with Anthony Adams, because of course Mike Duggan is going to moonwalk back into office. It's hard to fight up against 72%.
I'm sorry, it was just talking about him when you said moonwalk.
Right.
Yeah, especially, you know, hey, isn't it strange? I don't think we ever thought that after Coleman Young that we would be voting in a white mayor multiple times. Isn't this shocking?
Times.
Oh, my goodness.
It is shocking, especially
it
with the scandals that he's undergone. And
some
of these scandals that we have talked about are some of the same scandals we've seen in other people that have gone to jail.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You mean other people have had affairs made exposed
other
and
people,
made public?
Yes, other people have had affairs. Other people have, you know,
contract.
Yes. Michael, you got to get out. You got to get out.
You
got to come out of your man cave.
Okay, questions about funding, like with the Motor City Match? I mean, there's other people
all
have had questions about funding,
Land
too.
Bank. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Somehow Teflon Mike, he's surviving,
he's
isn't
back
he?
In there.
I'm telling
he
you.
Is.
Why didn't M.L. Eldrick, why didn't he beat Letitia? M.L. Eldrick's been in the news, on TV, on the, you know, he's a news guy. He's so much more popular. Mm-hmm. But why did Letitia Johnson beat him? They still have to go at it for November. But she beat M.L. Eldrick.
Mm-hmm.
He's got such a
big name.
And
that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Because you have to understand, M.L. Eldrick has not been he's been in the news. Yes, he was a news reporter, anchor, whatever you want to call it. But he has not been very friendly to the black community in reporting issues in our city. And so I said earlier, people remember what you do and how you act.
True.
And so, you can run for an office, and you'll have those ones who are, you know, you have your following. But the real people of our city know and what they want. And, yes, he made it to the top, too. That's fine, but you got to make it through to November. And let's
That's
be clear.
Right.
The good thing about November races in our city when it comes to our general elections, people do get out and vote. And that's the bad thing about it. They don't get out and vote in the primary, which would be much better
for
the
that's
November
why I'm saying
race.
How important
but
it
those
is. Bishop,
numbers can turn.
Bishop Kathy,
even
jump
if,
in when
even
you
if
want
it's
to.
Mayor
you know.
Race. Right. Even in the mayor race. Joe Duggan walked in, Moon walked in his primary, but that don't mean he's going to win that election. We have to think about that. He had almost 50,000 people say yes. I don't know how when you only had 71,000 people that came out and vote, but that's another conversation for another open show. However, Anthony Adams could very well still be the winner in November because guess
he
what?
Could.
People will show up and show out in November.
Yeah, you
so
never
I
know. Bishop
this,
Kathy,
yes,
let's
look,
Bishop Kathy say something for a minute, please. I want to make, because I asked him to stay on, and I just want to make sure that he gets a chance to make a comment about the election.
And I agree. I agree with my sister 100%.
It's just like looking at a good old basketball game. Right when you thought that one team was going to win, there goes somebody with a lucky shot. So it may come down. It could very well come down to the wire. And I like what you said earlier. You never give up. If you can go in and become a right hand, then go in. But then on the other hand, a lot of us need to stop getting dressed for positions that God doesn't want us to be in. That's one
right.
of our problems. We don't understand. Sometimes we don't want to accept defeat. We don't want to walk away from something when we should. I'm not one to name names, but we know that there's been several individuals that got in the race that shouldn't be in it. And they still stay in it because they have this, I don't want to lose thing. I don't want to feel like I'm lost. But back to that race, it's because they up now does not mean that they can win in the end.
That's true.
Amen.
And I think,
right.
Henrietta, you're right. We cannot, you know, we cannot just give up and assume that somebody's going to win or lose in November. There's a few months between now and November, and things can change.
Yep.
Something could happen. Mm-hmm. And, we could have a new scandal come up. I'm just saying. Something could come up, and
exactly.
then people be like, okay, we need a new mayor. We need to do this. So that's a good idea. Why did Fred Durhall win in District 7? Does anybody know
Because
he's the man for the job.
But he also has name recognition, and they have a legacy between him and his father.
It's the Durhall name.
District 5. Yep. The Durhall name stands for quality.
Why didn't John Bennett do any better? He looks like he's got it together, but Regina Ross beat him out. John Bennett's out of it now. So the race is between Fred and Regina. Why did John Bennett place third?
Again, it goes to what the people remember about you. I said it over and over. When people know what you do and what you don't do. And people haven't really saw, because we have to think about it, because the conversation was going on at my poll with some of the canvassers and some of the people who were out there on other people's teams, and the question was asked, well, he's done all these things, he got all these degrees, why haven't he made any difference in our community? People look at that. You were in a position, and I'll say this all the time when it comes to politics, if you're a person in a position and you've been in that position a long time, to have had input on how your community are ran, and you don't haven't shown any effort in that position that you hold. And when you go running for a higher seat, people are going to say, really? Are you kidding me? People remember what you do.
Yeah,
it doesn't
think
matter
you
if you're police this or that. People remember your involvement. And if you're not engaged in the community and have done things where people remember that you've done to make their communities better, you can run for all the seats you want. They're not going to elect
you. You know what?
They're going to elect Durhall.
You're right.
That's
right
what happened
target.
In District 1.
Yeah, you're right on
target. And that's
target.
What happened in District 1.
I don't remember anything that John Bennett did. And, it's a good friend of mine. I mean, he used to be one of my panelists on the Michael Van Tool Show on WLQV years ago. But as you were talking, Henrietta, I was just thinking, what did John Bennett do recently for the community? And I can't think of anything. The Titus race is the at-large race. Do you know that Janae Ayers and Coleman Young Jr. almost got the same amount, 34,000 points.
Next to that.
They were separated by less than 400 votes, the two of them. Mary Waters had 26,000. Nicole Small had 11,000. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be the race to watch, to be honest. Proposal P went down in flames.
Let me respond to that. When you have misinformation, and let me say this, the fight for revising that charter started day one. Although the news and the reporting was, you know, all showing all the arguing and all the bickering, that had nothing to do with changing and trying to fight for the people of the city of Detroit. You have to understand fighting for what you believe in causes friction. And what people got to understand is read first, research, and make your decision. Because I believe that this winning no vote came on information, misinformation at the very last minute, because it was the debate going back and forth. So they had to figure out, well, how do we really get people? It was fear locked in. Oh, they're going to mess with our pension. Oh, we're going to go back in bankruptcy. Oh, no. No one thought to research that, because we kept saying, go look at the revision. It's telling you. There were websites. There were information all about what they were trying to do, and it seems that nobody listened. And it was a block to even circulate information about it. So when you don't have the information in your hand and you trust in your news source, this is the end result. Because there's nothing in that revised charter that talks about messing with attention. It is clearly black and white what they were trying to do, and none of it had to do with none of that. But that fear,
yeah.
I have people at the polls say, well, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to make a mess with our pension. So that pension thing, I think, was what took it to the no vote. That's my
opinion. That charter commission is not, that's not their position to try to make laws and stuff like that. As I was telling you, Henrietta, earlier last week, that if they want to make changes, do what a couple of them have done. That's run for city council, run for state rep, run for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you make the laws. It's not on that. We just got four more minutes left. Did you know that a new tactic now that some of the states are using to discourage voting? Can you imagine that? The Republicans and these Republican state committees are now trying to say, if you haven't voted in the last few elections, that you are called an inactive voter, and that now you will be disqualified and you have to re-register. I mean,
come on now.
I'm talking to Republicans right now. Ask your friends, why aren't you all encouraging Americans to vote? Why are you not encouraging them? Why are you trying to stop people from voting? Think about that. This is America. Mm-hmm. It's a democracy. It's built on voting and all that. But then you're discouraging people to vote. And so maybe somebody doesn't vote for a year or two. Okay. I think that's up to them. I would like them to. Yeah. I agree. After a certain amount of time, you may want to have them re-register because people get older, they move, you know, but not if you missed the last election or the last year of election, but that's some new thing that they're starting now. But look, they're going to keep doing this.
That it was a Trump turnout.
That's all it is. That's all it is. They just don't – they're upset that he didn't get in. They're upset that their candidates didn't get in. They're upset that people of color and poor people are voting and putting in who we want in. I tell you. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Look, guys, oh, my God, this was fun. By the way, the Olympics is over. The U.S. had the most medals, 113 overall. China had 88 overall. Russia had 71. We also had the most gold medals. We beat China by one. We had 39 gold medals. China had 38, and Russia had 20. So Japan lost a lot. They wasted a lot of money on this. They built all those Olympic structures all over Tokyo, and they were empty. They displaced people. They were protests. They were just confiscating property from people to build all these stadiums, these pools. And guess what? None of them were used because people were not able to come to watch the Olympics. So what a waste. All right. Thank you, guys. I'm going to really promote this show this week because we got so much into this hour and a half with Attorney Johnny mm-hmm. Hawkins and Missionary Humphrey and then our election special. So whatever you can do to share it, keep sharing it because the program is going to be available right up until next Sunday this time. Thank you. Be careful.
Thank
bless
you. God bless.
You today. Have a great Sunday.
God bless.
Okay.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening. Everything is gonna be all right.